Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You know, we all take for granted that human beings are different. We all have our own personalities, our own likes and dislikes and eccentricities. But just take a moment, stop, and wonder why that is. Among all the billions of people born since the human race first appeared and started walking on two legs, we haven't really had two twins who are identical in personality instead of appearance. And in the debate of nature versus nurture, Hannah Holmes comes down on the side of the brain. She says neuroscience can help you understand why you are the way you are and possibly can help you change that. Hannah Holmes talks about this in her new book, Quirk, Brain Science Makes Sense of Your Peculiar Personality. She joins us from Portland, Maine. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning.
First of all, in what way does the brain kind of dictate our personality? Is it an immutable sort of destiny that you're going to be the way you are because your brain is anatomically the way that it is?
It's a pretty done deal. Once you pop out, you are pretty much who you're going to be for the rest of your life. There is some effect of your environment on your personality, but it's not as great as scientists used to think. And that's because every animal, not just people, but the book compares people to mice and is based on the concept that somewhere out there is a mouse who's quite a bit like you. All of us animals evolved in an environment that was chaotic and unpredictable. And one size doesn't fit all when it comes to answering an environmental challenge. Sometimes you got to be really mousy. Sometimes you have to be really aggressive and not worry about the consequences and just go for it. And so nature has rewarded us with this broad diversity of personalities.
Wait, now hold on a second here, Hannah. Okay, number one, it sounds to me like you are like settling the debate of nature versus nurture. Is that correct?
You know, the battle is winding down in a sense. Scientists used to think that it was about 50% nature, 50% nurture. And genetically, they can see that it is about 50%. Your personality is about half determined by genes, which leaves about half for your environment to mess with.
Well, that's a lot. Half is a lot.
Half is a lot. What they're finding is that when you pop out of the uterus, you already kind of know who you are, and you seek out the environment that suits your personality. So if you're a real extroverted little kid and your parents are kind of not, what they're finding is that you're not going to allow your parents' shyness or quietness to dampen your natural extroversion. You're going to go find some rowdy kids to hang with.
There's so many intangibles here, Hannah Holmes. I mean, you say half of it is determined. Well, half of your personality is a lot of your personality, not to mention the fact that the brain is plastic. It's not one thing. It changes over your lifetime and changes according to what you learn, right?
With personality, very little. Actually, the brain is more plastic than we ever thought, so you can make some differences. And perhaps the most graphic example of this is with studies that have been done on people who meditate with great conviction over many years. They actually do alter the electrical activity in their brains, and you can change the output of your brain fairly easily. If you don't feel like meditating for 10 or 20 years, you can practice things like mindfulness, and there are lots of courses on that because many of us are much less mindful and more impulsive than we wish we were, and we just have that sort of brain. So there are a million ways where you can alter the behavior that flows forth from your personality. That's actually a lot easier than actually altering your personality.
Well, you know, Hannah, let me kind of delve into what exactly this means. Does this mean that you can look at my brain and have at least a 50% predictor on what the way I behave?
Well, because scientists go at this piece by piece, they look at one element of personality at a time, like conscientiousness or your agreeableness or your neuroticism, which is related to depression and anxiety, or your extroversion, which has actually some high risks for substance addiction. So they don't sort of look at an entire brain and try to characterize a human. They tend to go at it from a disorder perspective because they're looking at how to resolve personality disorders. What they can do increasingly these days is there was a recent study where they looked at the amygdala, which is the brain's fear and emergency center deep inside the animal brain. And they could predict from looking at the amygdala which people would be more likely to get post-traumatic stress disorder after a terrible event based on the activity of that amygdala. So we all come into the world with a preset on that amygdala that's either a real alarmist or it's a, yeah, that's probably going to be okay amygdala.
Well, I would assume that the reason that you're bringing up mice in this conversation is I can't imagine you're going to get approval for them for you to open up people's brains and stick wires on people's brains,
don't
right?
Be so
while
sure.
you test all this.
Right, it's on the brains of mice that our psychiatric drugs were built, our antidepressants, and I mean not to mention our cancer treatments and a million other things. But what we've learned about medical psychiatry is largely based on mice because they breed very quickly, and so you can see the effect of nature and nurture on them by analyzing the brains. And we can also, I mean, they have incredibly fine technology for sticking these tiny little wires into a mouse brain, and they can listen to a single cell in the brain and see what it's actually doing.
Hannah, please tell me that a human brain is slightly more complex than a rodent brain. Right?
You know, it's a lot more complex, and we have the ability to reflect, and so we're fascinated with our star charts and our Myers-Briggs and our, you know, our Chinese sign. Mice don't concern themselves with that. But we share the same fundamental elements of personality. We all have to strike a balance between approaching the opportunities in the world and avoiding getting eaten by the predator that's waiting. We all have to decide whether we're going to be short-term opportunists or whether we're going to stand back and check things out and take a slow and steady approach and take the risk that, you know, a flood is going to wipe out all our hard work. Every animal has to fall somewhere
on that line. Well, we have actually your five-factor personality test that you use. It's we have a link to it at our website. You can take it. Hannah Holmes, her new book is called Quirk: Brain Science Makes Sense of Your Peculiar Personality. Thank you so much, Hannah.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.